on. The Bible says this, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him." Can I say they already knew they needed the touch of God? That's the difference. And I'm glad there's still people that'll bring people to Jesus asking for a touch. Thank you. That ain't changed today, praise God. "And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ear, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened." Now right there, if you want to make a note in your Bible, when he makes that statement that says be opened, that's all that could ever happen. There's nothing else that could ever happen right there except what Jesus said. "And straightway," that means immediately, without any time going by, "his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying," take note of this phrase, "he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." I want to preach on this thought tonight. He does all things well. Let's pray. Father, we come to you, Lord. We're so appreciative, Lord, so thankful that we can come to you in prayer. And we're just so happy, Lord, to have another step of normalcy back in our lives and just to be able to see the smiling faces, the people in this place. We appreciate that, Lord. And oh, Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your good spirit in the place. Thank you for the service this morning. And Father, we've studied and we've prayed and we believe this is your will to preach this message. And I just pray you give me some unction. I need you to touch me for this short amount of time. Help me, Lord. I pray if there's one lost, I pray they get born again. Lord, I pray that this would encourage, Lord, maybe one struggling, one going through something. I pray it would strengthen them, Lord. Help us in these last days. We need every bit of your word to strengthen us to stand. And we be sure to thank you and praise you. And we love you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I think it'd be one of the most important things you could do is you got your Bible and you got a pen to underline that phrase, "He hath done all things well." And when we come to this text here in Mark, Jesus had just left Tyre and Sidon and he had came to the Sea of Galilee and they had brought a man unto him who was deaf, he couldn't hear, and he had an impediment in his speech. And we read that Jesus proceeded to heal him. And he opened his ears and he loosened his tongue. And in the midst of their astonishment of this miracle, and it was a miracle, and I'm glad we serve a God that can still perform miracles, that he still touches people, he's still able to work in our lives. They looked on and they saw this and they made this statement about Jesus. They said, "He hath done all things well." And I want to say something to you tonight. Jesus still does all things well. I want to encourage you to hide this deep in your heart. When life comes at you, you need to remember he does all things well. The Bible teaches us that life has many seasons. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, Solomon wrote, and he wrote this, and he says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate and a time of war and a time of peace." And if you scroll down to verse number 11, he makes this statement. "He hath made everything beautiful in his time." Now what Solomon is teaching us there is that there are seasons in our life. There are times in our lives that are different. And if you look at all of those statements in there, they contrast from one end to the other. I mean, the season can be on one end that's great and one end that's not so great. But we find that in our lives are different seasons. And notice what he said there in verse 1. He said, "And a time to every purpose under the heaven." Here's what I want to tell you. There is a divine purpose in every season of your life. There's not a season that you go through. There's not a storm you go through. There's not a struggle you go through that there is not a divine purpose in the midst of what you're facing. And here's what I want to tell you. God knows the purpose, and we must trust Him. But we must remember this and not forget it. Whether it's a season that's brought much joy, a season that's brought much hurt, a season that's brought life, a season that's brought death, we need to remember this. He does all things well. That's all we can do. I'm telling you tonight, friends, I want you to know this. We can trust the will of God. It doesn't always give the appearance that it may be well for us. But it can only be well for us because Jesus does all things well. That's it. That's all He can do. I'm telling you, I want to encourage you tonight. You may have come in here. Listen, as a church, we're going to be facing things we've never faced before. Amen? And in the midst of all that was going on, can we not say that He done all things well? I mean, Tom hit on it this morning. All things well. He made provisions years in advance that was planned out. Things that nobody had ever thought about. He had done, listen, He does all things well. We can always trust Him. Even when we don't understand. Even when we don't know. Even when we see that there may be pain involved. There may be things. I want to tell you something. Listen, it's all right. I like Brother Arnold. Christ had sat up here and he said, "It's all right to ask God why." I've done a lot of that. I'm just telling you. But in the midst of what you're going through, I want to encourage you tonight. You may not see, you may not understand, you may not know how's it going to happen, how's it going to unfold, how's it going to be, but here's what I want to tell you. He does all things well. 1 Peter 4 and 12, Peter wrote this verse. He said, "Beloved," it doesn't say beloved, by the way. It says beloved. That's exactly how you read that. "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." And you say, what is he saying? He said, don't think it's some out of bounds. Don't think it's something out of the way. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's weird that some fiery trial, that's a hot trial. Fire is hot. Amen. Y'all agree with me? I mean, you get too close to the fire, what happens to you? You get burned. Well, can I say something to you? Don't think it's strange when the heat gets turned up. What he's saying is don't start saying, "Now hold on, Lord, wait a minute now." Don't begin to panic. Can I say, don't panic. We panic. You know what Adam did when he sinned in the garden? He panicked. He didn't run to, the best thing he could have ever done was ran to God and said, "I'd mess this thing up." That's the best thing he could have. But you know what they did? They panicked and they tried to learn how to sew. Guess what they did? I don't know that they had any knowledge of it at all, but what I'm saying is, listen to me, though we may not understand things, don't panic in the will of God. Because He does all things well. We don't have to see this thing. And I'm going to get there in a minute. But we don't have to understand and know what's going on. But what Peter's saying is, don't panic and bail out. Don't panic and start going the other direction. Don't try to go figure this thing out yourself. Just trust the Lord. He does all things well. We need to remember when the trials come in our life, that Jesus does all things well. We We need to be repetitive in our minds, in our hearts. We need to write that upon the table, our hearts. You know, I can't remember. It's unbelievable what I cannot remember. And you can ask my wife. You can ask Tom. He told me the other day, he said, I forgot to give you this. I said, well, I forgot I even gave it to you and had one to start with. So, I mean, we're good. I can't remember things. So I write everything down. I mean, whoever invented post-it notes, praise God for them. I write everything down. And I ain't a great writer, so I got to write it where I can read it. But listen to me. I think about these things. I can't remember these things, but here's what I've learned. Things that are important for me to remember, I need to put them in a place where I know that I can get them when the time comes. And you know what? You know what you need to do with this verse? You need to put it to the place where you know you can go back to it when the time comes. Listen, you may not be in a storm now, but you could be coming into one. You might be coming out of one, but here's what I'm going to tell you. No matter where you come into this thing tonight, He does all things well. He does all things well. When the storms come, when the outcome is not what we desire. I'm not going to try to sit up here and tell y'all that it's all just going to work out the way we think. It don't work that way. I'm not up here to tell you that I know that you just keep going on and it's going to be favorable in your thing. Let me say something. It may not end favorable in this life, but I tell you, if you stay in the will of God, it'll be very favorable on the other side. What I'm saying, from the outside in, it may look like it's not pleasant. It may look like may not be a lot of things, but here's what I want to tell you. It may not be what we expect, what we, so to speak, desire. Things don't always work out the way we want to. But we got to remember in the midst of those that He does all things well. And I want to tell you, He does all things well, and I want to look at three quick points. And I'm done. Because of the mind of God. Let me tell you why Jesus does all things well. Well, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Now when I look at that verse, what God says is, He's saying, listen, we cannot attain to His thought level. What God is saying is, we're finite. There's boundaries, there's limitations to our ability to the knowledge and the wisdom that we have, that we possess, and that we can exercise. But God said, there's no boundaries to His knowledge. There's no limits to the wisdom that He has. He's all knowledge. You say I can't understand it. Well, listen, we'll get in the same club. We'll sign up. I don't understand it either. That's just what He is. He knows everything. Everything. You say, how does He know that? Because He's God. That's why He knows everything. Okay? And His thoughts are higher than ours. What He's trying to tell us is, you kind of think about 2021, where we are, the technology, the medicines, the communications. I mean, it's unbelievable how much man has been able to do. But man could not even scratch the sole of God's foot in wisdom and not if they combine it all together. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. He said, neither are your ways my ways. We ought to all just stand up and hold our hand up and say, thank God for that. Thank God that it didn't go the way I wanted it to. Because you know what? We'd all be going to hell if it went that way. Hey, but aren't you glad that His way's better? And I'm glad that He made the way. Thank God He made the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's a lot of times in life, you know what we'd say? We'd say, well, I'd do it this way. Y'all have heard that. You know, let's do it like this. That's what we do. And you know what? There's at times that we don't understand His ways. And that goes back because we don't have the knowledge that He has. Here's the example that I got for this. I thought of you, Tim Kelsner. You and Jerry. Jerry ain't here, but I thought of you. It's Saturday. It's 3rd and 6. The Mountaineers need a touchdown. Y'all laugh, y'all listen. I ain't using a Marshall illustration. We're still in the game here, okay? But listen to me. Listen to me. You're on the edge of your seat. Quarterback says hut. He drops back. And you're watching from this sky cam. You can see the whole field. You can see all the receivers. You can see the running back. You can see the lines. You can see everything going on. And the quarterback throws it over here and it gets intercepted. And you say, how did he not see that? You say anything else, you better get on the altar. What was he looking at? No, or we do this. I don't know why. Listen, communication has not got this far yet. You can speak to your TV, but it can't hear you. Right there! Look, he's open! Y'all laugh because y'all do this stuff. But listen to me. And we say, I don't know what that quarterback was thinking. But you see, here's the difference is. You and I aren't standing behind some 350-pound, 6'5" lineman with 4 or 5 guys that's ready to eat you for dinner. And I mean eat you for dinner. I'm talking about that. You realize that most football plays only last a couple seconds. You know, they only seem like they last forever when the game's born, but I mean they're like this. I'm talking about 2 or 3 seconds. That quarterback's got to get the ball out of there. He's got to see. He's got to anticipate. And we're looking at all these things. Do you know why we do that? Because he can't see it from our viewpoint. Can I say something to you? There's a lot of times in life we don't understand why things are happening. We don't understand what we can't see it. And you know what? We're doing? We're looking over here and we're thinking, oh, this ain't right and all these different things. But can I say something to you? He's got the viewpoint. He sees it from up here. And we got to remember, when it looks like we ought to be throwing deep and he says run it, he does all things well. Can I say something to you? There's times that we don't understand. But he always does things well. His mind, that's why we have to trust in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the troubles. There's a lot of things I'd change in my life right now, but here's what I've learned. I've learned this, Tom. There is many things going on in my life right now that I can do absolutely nothing about. I don't understand things that people are trying to do. I don't understand anything medical. Thank God Courtney's a nurse. See, that's I'm just telling y'all how much God's done in this thing. She translates to me. Well, this number means this, and this means this, and this means this. And if she didn't do that, I'd have no idea what she's talking about. Listen, I went to school for sports management, and I deal with taxes, so I have no idea about medical stuff. Okay? But what I want to tell you is I don't understand a lot of the things going on in my life. And I'm in a place, Tom, where I've learned, and I'm settled in this, I'm solely resting in what the Lord does. And I'm resting in His ability no matter what happens. Because I'm going to tell you something, it's always out of our control. But I'm resting in this, He knows, and He does all things well. Now, it may not turn out the way I want it to, and it may not turn out the way I expect. But I can trust in this. However it turns out, He does all things well. The Bible said in Isaiah, or Psalm 147:5, great is the Lord and of great power, His understanding is infinite. That means there's no boundaries to it. You say, I don't understand. That's okay, because Jesus does. Hold on a minute. I don't know. That's okay. Jesus does. We come to these things in our life, and you know what we learn? We realize we ain't got as much control of this thing going on as we think so. And it's best is when we find out that we ain't in that much control if we'll just let Him stay in the driver's seat and we'll just keep trusting. Isaiah 40:28 says, there is no searching of his understanding. Now that doesn't mean that you couldn't search out his understanding. What he's saying is, listen, you could pack all the supplies you wanted. You know, they keep going deep into space. I think it's just phenomenal to look at photos. I always think it's amazing. Because listen, far as we ever went, they still ain't found an end. He made that, by the way, too. But I think about this. They're going. There ain't no people on the, they're so far. I don't know what a light year is. I know it's in Star Wars and all that stuff, and they have time and they talk about, but I'm talking about it's so far away that there's no one could make it as far as they went in that little pod, and it keeps on going. And some point the signal run out. Some point the power run out. That'd be the same way if we tried to search the understanding of God. If we spend all eternity trying to find the end of the understanding of God, guess what we'll find? There ain't enough time for us to do it because His understanding is infinite. I'm telling you, friends, His mind, He's far greater than us. Paul wrote this in Romans 11:33. He said, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say this. He does all things well. He came because of the mind of God. He came because of the might of God. Isaiah 46:10 says this, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Here's what I want to tell you. He does all things well because He's in total control. There's a biblical word we use for that, and it's called sovereignty. Now, there's a lot of people that get confused about sovereignty. And here's what I'm going to tell you. This is not real confusing. Read the Bible cover to cover, and here's what you'll find out. He's in total control. If some big theologian that studied all kinds of Greek words and does all kinds, let me tell you something. He's a fool if he don't think God's in total control. You know what the Bible said right here? It didn't say he started writing and see how he'd find this thing out. That's what we do. It says he declared the end from the beginning. What that means is, he went to the end of the story, Judy, and said, "I'll write this thing backwards." He might say backwards, y'all don't know. But I felt good in the spirit about it. But listen to me. He's in total control. He's completely sovereign. You say, "Well, preacher, how do you talk about the free will of man?" Well, here's what I'm going to tell you something. Here's how I figured this out in my small little poke of mind, okay? It ain't got much, but I got this figured out. Here's how I know God's completely sovereign. Only a sovereign God could allow man to have free will about his salvation and not lose control of the whole thing. Only a sovereign God could allow man to have free will to choose whether he'll be saved or not and still not lose control of the whole thing. That's the man's free will is fulfilled in the sovereignty of God because I will do all my pleasure. What God's saying was, "I'll do what I want to, and nobody can tell me otherwise." That's what He said. "I will do all my pleasure." That's what this verse says. He said, "I wrote the end." You know why He wrote the end from the beginning? To prove to us He's in total control, Jamie. He's in total control, Joe. Total control. Do you think He was up there wondering, "Well, let's see how we'll get them through this pandemic"? That's not it. He done knew about this. We're catching up to His promises and Word. He's not up there trying to figure things out. He's done roughed it. He done knows it. I know it ain't good English, but y'all's getting what I'm saying. Listen to me. He said, "My counsel shall stand." What He's trying to prove in the book of Isaiah is, he's proved it throughout the Bible, and what He wants us to grasp from this great truth is, listen, what He says will go. what he has pinned down. You say, how do I know that the church will be in the tribulation? Because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. You say, well, how do you know about this? And how do you... Because I find it in the Bible. And you say, well, how do you know it'll come to pass? Because my counsel shall stand. Not mine, but his. I'm not living... Listen, my eternity is not based on what I've said. I know my name's in the book of life because I got assurance from his word. From the word of God. You could listen, you don't have to go through your life questioning. People's wondering, well, how do you get to heaven? He's done told us you must be born again. And can I say something to you? His counsel stands on that. For by grace are you saved through faith. You know what that means? That God says my counsel shall stand. That means that's how you get saved. There's not any other way. That's how you do it. My counsel shall stand. Can I say something to you? He is in total control. In the midst of what you're going through. And you wonder, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know all these different things. Here's what I want to tell you. He does all things well. And he's in total control. When we trust in him, we can rest in this. Let me tell you something. The fourth man showed up in the fire. But they were still in the fire. That was a miracle. They didn't get out of it. They didn't get in the way. Actually, they got thrown in. And he showed up. But here's what I like about this. I hide this in my heart. This is something you ought to go to your Bibles. You ought to mark. They said, listen, God will deliver us. But they said this in the next verse. But if he don't. Can I say something to you? I don't know how things are all going to turn out. I'm not a prophet. And if there's people that think they got some other things, let me say something to you. You don't know either. I'm just telling you. Listen, everything I preach comes from that book. I don't claim to have none. I don't want to claim. I want to be far from. If someone says they got some extra thing, they're a liar and the truth ain't in them. It's in that book. It's in the Bible. But I ain't coming from. I'm not trusting in visions. I'm not trusting in experiences. This is what I'm trusting in. I'm settled strong. I'm sticking to what the Bible says because he does all things well. So I don't know what it's going to be like. And it may not be the way I want, the way I expect, the way I desire, but here's what I'm going to tell you something. He does all things well. He does all things well. And I'm resting in that. Because he has the might. We serve one that's in total control. He don't flinch. He don't sweat. He don't get to the edge of his seat. He don't get nervous. Because he's in total control. You don't get nervous about things that you're in control of. It's like it. I don't even know. See, I can't even give us an illustration. We ain't got a light switch in there. Where's the light switch? It's back there. I know. Remember, I told you, I got to write everything down. We do simple things. Like, we'll go home. I'll use this. You'll go home, and your lights are probably off. If not, you're just giving AEP free money. And they'll take it. But you go in there. You don't think anything about flipping the light switch on. You know why? Because you think you're in control. Till you flip it and you realize that the breaker down the street blew up, the thing on the pole, you realize that you're not in control. We don't sweat things when we're in control. Or at least when we think we do. God ain't never sweated. He did sit down and rest. And the only time that I ever saw that Jesus sweat was when the Garden of Gethsemane and it turned to blood. But when he created things, he's not up there fretting and worrying. We do that. That's why Paul said in everything by prayer. In everything by prayer. You say, what do I need to pray about? Everything. Everything. And get specific about it. I mean, listen, we can say certain things, but listen, we ought to get real specific. But I want you to grasp this point. He does all things well because of his mind, because of his might, and because of his means. And here's what I want to tell you. You may be in a season that's been tough. You might be in a time that's not a season that you've enjoyed. Maybe it's a season of growth. Maybe it's just, I don't know what the season you may come in here as, but here's what I'm going to tell you. He does all things well because no matter what season we're in, He has the means to help us through. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, He wrote this, Jesus said this, Paul writing said, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." By means of God, I mean that His ability in the midst of our seasons and our storms and our struggles and our service, He can help us through. Can I say something to you? I've lived on grace I've never experienced. You all could stand and tell times in your life you did too. When we walk through a new door, a new experience in life, maybe we get in the boat and the storm got, can I say something to you? He's on the other side. There's not something you're going to walk into that you're going to get on the other side and say, well, where's He at? That's not what the Bible said, Judy. He said, for I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, may I boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. But going back to the Bible, everybody. Staying with the Bible. There's not a door you're going to... Listen, there's not a storm you're going to go through that His grace will not be sufficient. Now, we may have never experienced it. We may not even know. I'll say this. Most of the time when we get in things, we don't really know what we need. If we could plan for the storms, we still would need His grace. But I think if we would plan for the storms, we'd never do anything else. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We plan for everything. We write a store list. You take a vacation. Now, listen, this ain't the way some of y'all may do this. But most of you will probably plan to see where you're going. Especially in light of where we're living at right now, because when you get there, they may not let you stay there. We try to plan everything. But there's things that happen in our life we can't plan for. They come unexpectedly. They come unwantedly. They catch us by surprise. But here's what I'm going to tell you. There in that storm, grace is waiting for you. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Can I say something? You say, how in the world am I going to get through this thing? Because of His grace and His strength. You know why He does all things well? Because we may go through these times, but we don't go through it without the help we need to get through it. You say, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I've had those thoughts. I don't know what we're going to do. I've been there. And you've been there. We could all stand up and testify. You could look back on your life and say, now you could look back and say, I know exactly how I made it through. You can look back. It's a lot of times we don't, at the time, you know what, we're like this. Or we're like Peter. I'm not knocking Peter, so don't take this wrong. He's the only guy I know who walked on water, besides Jesus. And he got out of the boat while the storm was going on. A lot of times we forget that. It's not like Jesus paused everything and then they got out and the storm was still going on. The waves were still crashing. But we wouldn't have stepped out anyways. But the storm was going on. And he stepped out. But you know what he did like we do? He started looking around. Start looking around. That's how we are in the midst of things we go through. That's why we're anxious and we have cares. And that we, Paul, aren't you glad that this is how much God knows? God knew that I'd have anxiety and cares about things. And He knew you would too. So you know what He did in His Word? In His inspired and preserved Word, thank God, in the English language, in His King James Bible. You know what He did? He said, well, I'll tell them what to do about that. You ever thought about that? I mean, we read it and just say, yeah, it is. But he said, no, I'm going to tell them what they need to do. I'm not going to let Tom worry about what does he need to do when these things come up. And you don't have to search and listen. You don't have to go out in the world and try to figure out, what am I supposed to do when I got cares? Because God says, I care about you. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you. He said, in everything by prayer. That's wisdom, right? I'm talking about God's ways are higher than our ways. Listen to me. In the midst of whatever you're facing, whatever season of life you're coming into, whatever you're going out of, coming into, I don't know what it may be. And I'm going to say something to you. We need His grace every day. Regardless if we're in a good season or a bad season, however it may be. My dad's told me for years, he said, enjoy the season you're in. You say, well, preacher, how can I do that? I'm just telling you, there's ways to enjoy the season. There's still, in the midst of things that's going on that we may not like, there's still things we can see God do. I've looked back in the last couple weeks, and I'm talking about small things that don't make any sense. Maybe from the outside wouldn't really matter, but I'm talking about small things the Lord has done in the midst of all that we're facing. I mean, things is like, one, Courtney's able to communicate with these doctors. She knows them. You know, if my mom would have been at any other hospital, it would have just been when we were allowed to call and what they want to say. I'm just telling y'all, that's the grace of God. Because, I mean, we're over here, 6 o'clock, I don't have to set an alarm. It's already waiting for the call every morning. How's she doing? I mean, what I'm trying to tell you is I can look in and I can see opportunities. I can see things where God's hand has moved in a small way, but His grace still moved in a way to help us and strengthen us each day. And let me tell you something. You can't exhaust sufficient grace. Well, I mean, like, you know, you keep going to the fridge, eventually you're going to go to the store. Try it out. Keep going to the pantry. Eventually you'll go to the store. Listen. Hey, keep going and getting the towels out of the closet. Eventually you'll go to the laundry room. Grace don't work that way. You say, preacher, I've exhausted every ounce of it today. Well, let me tell you something. The wells of the grace of God never run dry. You can go back tomorrow and guess what? It'll be just as full as when you came back the previous time. I'm telling you, friends, He does all things well. Because when we even can't understand the way, when we can't see, when we can't figure it out, and we do this, that's what our mind does. We try to think of things. We try to think about outcomes. We try to think about, well, what about this and what about this and all these different things. Here's what I want to tell you. In the midst of all that you're facing, His grace and His strength is sufficient for you. Each and every day, each and every storm, each and every season, you'll find out He does all things well. Judy, you come on. Don, you get a song. I want to encourage you tonight. In the midst of perilous times, in the midst of, well, I guess maybe we're close to the pandemic being over. In the midst of wherever we are right now and wherever we're going as a church, we can have questions. In the midst of where you are in your life, in the midst of things you're facing, things that are happening, maybe in your family or in your workplace or in your own life, whatever it may be, I want to say something to you. It generates questions. It generates thoughts of outcomes and trying to determine things. And I'm not discouraging you from thinking. It's okay to do that. But listen to me. In the midst of what you're facing, you need to write this on your heart. I mean, write it on the dashboard of your car. Put it on your desk at work. Put it by your bedside. Put it, I don't know, whatever you're facing. Somewhere where you can see it. And be reminded, when you have a bad day, when things don't go the way you planned, when things don't seem to add up to the way you wanted, or whatever it may be, maybe you're heartbroken, I don't know what it is, here's what I want to tell you. You need to go back and write this down and read it. He hath done all things well. And no matter what you're facing, there's grace for the moment you're in. And it's sufficient. And His strength will help you through no matter what you face. Church, we are called and written to stand. That's what the Bible said. He actually made this statement. He said, having done all, know what that means? We ought to do everything we can to stand. And the persecution's coming, Brother Greg. I mean, we're getting it in ways, but we don't shout enough around here and worship enough around the thought that the freedom and the liberty we have to do what we're doing right now. You can't do this all around the world. We do it and it don't cost us anything most of the time. It may change. We may have to pay fines for coming here. We may have to go to jail. I don't know what persecution means, but I know that if we're going to live godly, we're going to face it. You say, preacher, what will we do? What am I going to do when it comes and it hits us here at this church? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to remember He does all things well. Can I say something to you? Go read your Bible. You'll find out some of the greatest miracles and stories and accounts in the Bible that we read of happened in the midst of the worst of times, in the worst of situations. And when it looked like there was no hope, when the back was against the wall, when you were pushed in the corner, you need to remember this. He does all things well. He's in total control. We can trust the will of God, and we can trust the way of God, because Jesus does all things well.